Would you stand with us, please?
Water you turned into wine, open the eyes of the blind, there's no one like you, none like you. Into the darkness you shine, out of the ashes we rise, there's no one like you. Stronger, God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God.
Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise, there's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power.
You may be seated, and welcome this morning to 12th Street Baptist Church. I appreciate Jimmy and Krista putting together that video for us this morning, and I think it's awesome to have a church family, not just a church, not just a building, not just a bunch of people, but people that we can rely on, count on, and know that will be there with us. And even better than that, I know that my God is for me and not against me. And our God is great. Well, it's great to have you here this morning. If you're visiting with us at 12th Street Baptist Church. We're so glad to have you here. If you haven't received a visitor card, we would like to put one of those into your hands. And if you could fill out that card so we could have a record of your visit with us. If you could just slip your hand up if you're visiting and you haven't received one of those cards, we'd like to get that to you. All right, thank you. All right. All right, and it's great to have not only our visitors, but also all of our regular attenders. It's a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. Well, this morning, I have a few announcements to go through. The small group study that has been meeting at the Randolphs will meet at the Kilburns today, and that's 6605 Westshire. And so if you'd like to attend that small group tonight, it's moved from the Randolphs tonight to the Kilburns, just right around the corner. Today, following the morning service, yes, Marcia. Okay, Marcia's group will not be meeting tonight, the group that's been meeting at her house. So they can keep that in mind. And Steve, your group's meeting at your house?
We're on tonight.
All right, so Steve's group is on at his house. All right. And Bo's group is not meeting tonight, correct? Oh, you are. They are meeting tonight. So those in Bo's group are meeting tonight. Today, immediately following the service, we have a job fair. Now, what's the job fair for? We have a lot of ministries here at the church. And our goal is to have everyone that is in our church involved in a ministry. And if the only impression you ever make for the Lord is your cheeks in the seat, you're not making the right impression. So we're going to have all the ministries out there for you to look at. We have cards that describe the ministries, and we want to get you involved. And so before you leave, make sure you stop by those tables. And if you sign up for a ministry, our goal is to get back to you within the next 2 weeks and get you either scheduled to observe the ministry or actually to serve in that ministry right away, because we want everyone to be involved. Also then, immediately following our job fair, so you get done signing up, we have an Italian-themed potluck dinner. If you didn't bring food, that's okay. Stay. We're going to have a great time of fellowship, but we're going to do our dinner a little bit differently today. We're going to dream a little bit. All right, do you like to dream? Some of the funnest things that Rachel and I do, we sit there and we dream. All right, do all of those dreams come true? No, but once in a while, one of them does. And it's really cool. So we're going to dream a little bit, and here's how we're going to dream. We're going to think of some ministries for each age group, some outreach activities, some opportunities to something that you would think, you know, I would invite my neighbor to this. I would invite my friend to this. And so we're going to get all those put down, and we're going to organize those and get that put together and dream a little bit as a church. And so I want to encourage you to stay for the potluck and a little bit of dream session that we'll have. Next Saturday is the last week of Upward Basketball. They did an away travel day yesterday, had a lot of fun, played really close games. My voice is almost gone from yelling and screaming. All in encouragement, right? Yeah, Zane, yep. next Saturday is our last game. Next Sunday night at 5:30, 5 p.m., I'm sorry, at 5 p.m., we'll have a special closing program here at the church. We would love to have our church family come and encourage the kids. They're going to get some awards. We're going to play a couple games, not basketball games, but fun little short little games, and have some refreshments in the back. If you could help provide refreshments, we would appreciate that. Just a plate of cookies or brownies or something like that. And it's going to be a great night next Sunday night. Next Sunday morning will be our ordination for our new deacons, Brian Cooper and Cole Roberts, and so keep that in mind. And then also, Friendship First is on March 21st at 6 p.m. at Bo and Michelle Roberts' house. The food theme... Okay, so they're doing the... So it'll be... The Friendship First will be Friday night, and the final small group for Bo's, the final session will be that Friday night as well. So if you're in your small group, you got to show up. If you're not, you can show up anyway. Right, Bo? All right. So Irish-themed food or green food. Please bring a side dish and a 2-liter because Bo likes to have lots of pop around the house. And you can read through the rest there. The clothes closet started this weekend with our first outreach to the community with it, and I heard that there was good participation. And so if you have clothes that you're going to drop off or at Goodwill or Salvation Army or throw away, throw the ones that need to be thrown away away, all right? Don't drop those off here. But if you have good clothes in good condition, we're using that as a ministry, and so you could drop those off. We have a bin in the welcome area. All right, I think that's our announcements. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, I thank you for this morning. God, I pray that you would be great. We need this morning, Lord, to make you great. And we do that through our service to you. If all we ever do is talk about how great you are, but we never show it, then there's a disconnect between our faith and our works. And so, Lord, I pray that we would be motivated this morning, Lord, to be people of action. Take control of this service. Every song that's sung, every word that's spoken, Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that it would be yours under the influence of your Holy Spirit. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us.
Go ahead and make your way back to our seats. Well, I don't know about you all, but I am very happy that the snow is finally melting. Praise God. Would you stay with us again, please?
Never failing, let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, kindness of a Savior, the hope of a nation. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is my
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for just the awesome, just your awesomeness, Lord. You are just your undescribable, uncontainable, Lord. Thank you so much, God, for loving us like you do. Please, Lord, be with this offering as it is about to be taken. Please, Lord, be with us as help us to just be cheerful givers. Please, Lord, be with Pastor as he's about to present the word you laid upon his heart. This we ask in your name. Amen.
Forever.
When John saw the throne of heaven, around the throne were 24 elders, and within the 24 elders were four beasts, and they ceased not day and night to cry to him who sits on the throne, be blessing and honor and glory and power forever. And in heaven, they sing that over and over again because our Lord is worthy, right? He's worthy to receive that. And I hope this morning is, as you sang, I enjoyed worshiping the Lord this morning. Didn't you? It didn't start when I got here. It started when I woke up. And it's continued. And I hope for you it's been the same. Well, let's take our Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. Now, last night, the youth put on a great dinner and murder mystery. And I want to say thank you to the youth group and to the adult sponsors. Everybody that was there, I'm sure you had a wonderful time. It was truly a great night. I learned that Bryce Cooper is a murderer, and Ray Berry, when he becomes another character, becomes that character. And he was Jerry Rivera last night. He speaks the truth. But we had a great night, and if you missed it, don't miss it next year, because it was a great time. Well, let me catch you up to date what's been happening in the book of Acts as we come to chapter 6. In Acts chapter 1 through 5, we see that the Lord does something incredible on the earth. He leaves his work in the hands of people. He was here with the people. He led 12 of them, 11 one of them betrayed him, so he's left with 11 to carry on his work. And an incredible event takes place. He says, I'm going to leave now, but you will receive power after that. The Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witness for me both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And the disciples are standing there, and Jesus is gone. They go to the upper room. They wait for 10 long days. And then the Holy Spirit comes upon them. It's like the sound of a rushing mighty wind. Cloven tongues of fire on top of their heads. They speak. And when they go out into the marketplace, all these people from all over the world who were there for the Feast of Pentecost in the city of Jerusalem, they all heard the message in their native tongue. And the disciples didn't know those languages. It was a supernatural act of the Holy Ghost. And then his disciples stay true to his work. Everywhere they go, they preach the name of Jesus. And it gets them in a lot of trouble. They heal a cripple. In fact, everyone that is brought to them, they're able to heal. The people get so excited about what's taking place that the disciples will stand in the street and then walk through the street, and upon everybody that their shadow goes over, if they're sick, they're healed. And when they're asked, how are you doing this? They say, we're doing this in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who you killed. Could you imagine the authorities taking you in and saying, listen, you're doing some amazing things, but we want to know, how are you doing it? And so you tell them, I'm doing it through Jesus Christ of Nazareth. But not only that, you killed him. And kind of throwing it in the face of the priests. Who are the priests? They're the ones who conspired and helped have Jesus put to death. So they're thinking, let's just put these guys to death. Problem is, when they put them in prison, they can't keep them in prison. An angel comes and releases them. And when they go to punish them, the disciples are back preaching in the temple. And the leaders, they don't know how to handle all this. Let me just stop right here before we get into this next phase in chapter 6. This name of Jesus Christ is the only name by which any of us can be saved. And if you're here this morning and you think, well, you know, I've done a good work. I've prayed a prayer. I'm in church today. Okay, you're doing better than 90% of the world. Good job. But that doesn't get you to God. Jesus Christ. See what he did? He died on the cross for your sins. He bore your sins in his own body on the tree so that you who are dead in sins, me who was dead in sins, could be raised unto righteousness. By his stripes, I'm healed spiritually. And by stripes, you can be healed. What stripes? Well, when Jesus was beaten, they ripped his back apart. They beat him mercilessly. He did not even look human when they got done with him. Why did he do that? Because when he took those blows, he was paying the price for your sin. When he hung on that cross, he was paying the price for your sin. And if you put your faith and trust in what he's done for you, the Bible says you are saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell? Yeah, that's one thing. But more importantly, saved from sin, both its power and its penalty. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, today's the day to do so, because he died for you. Now, the disciples, the apostles, they took this message into Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit filled them with power, and they're in Jerusalem. They're doing the work in Jerusalem. And people are getting saved right and left. 3,000 the day of Pentecost. 5,000 the day that they heal the cripple. And then every day, multitudes more. And it's just bursting at the seams. So now you have Jews who had grown up all their life in sacrifice and temple ritual. And then you have Gentiles who are just pagan or non-religious. And they're all coming to Christ, and they're all together in the same church. This is explosive. Because the only thing they have in common, see, before the idea of church, and church, it simply means assembly, it's all the believers who believed in Jesus Christ started to assemble together under the command of Jesus. And so they start to meet together. That's church. That's their assembly. Well, you have people that would never have even looked at each other in the street. You have a Gentile who would see the Jew, and they hated the Jew. They thought that the Jew was against them. They thought that the Jew had agendas that were not in their favor. And then the Jew looked at the Gentile, and the Jew stuck their nose up in the air, and the Jew said, "That's a Gentile. They're not God's chosen." But now that Jesus Christ has come, he has chosen both Jew and Greek to be one in him. And so now this idea of assembly, they're all together. The only thing they have in common is Jesus. Nothing else. Now, some of you, you come out here to church and you assemble, and you're like, "Yeah, the only thing I have in common with some of these people is Jesus." And you know what? That's enough. It's enough. Sometimes we want to make it about more. Sometimes we want to push an agenda further. But I'll tell you what, the only thing this church in Jerusalem has going for it is Jesus. Now their first problem comes up in the church. And this first problem, it's legitimate, it's real, and it needs an answer. And here's what we'll find: the portrait of a church. In the portrait of a church, the church will have answers. And the answer is so unexpected, none of us, except for God, would come up with this solution to the problem. So let's look in Acts chapter 6 and verse 1. "And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration." Now I'm going to stop us here. And that word ministration, it's a Greek word. You're going to learn this word by the end of the day, and you're going to be a Greek scholar when we're done, because you're going to learn two Greek words, okay? The first Greek word that we're going to learn here this morning is diakonia. Everybody say that. Diakonia, which is a noun, okay? It's a noun, and it means, well, here it's translated daily ministration. It also could be service or ministry, okay? The daily service was being neglected from the Hebrew or the Jew toward the Greek, the non-Jew, the non-Hebrew. So the widows weren't being taken care of. It makes sense, though. All the disciples were Jewish. The first converts were all Jewish. So now you have Greeks that start getting saved. They believe in Jesus Christ. They become part of the assembly. They get baptized, and they're excited about Jesus Christ. And they realize, you know what? We used to be at odds. Jesus brought us together. But now we're finding that they're playing favorites. If you ever feel like somebody in the church is playing favorites, you can commensurate with the Greeks here, the Gentiles here, in the book of Acts. If you ever feel like things aren't fair, because that's really what it came down to. Remember, people are selling their goods and their lands, and they're giving it to the church, and the church is taking care of everybody as they have need. So the Gentiles are saying, we're not being taken care of like we should be here. Our widows are neglected, and it causes a problem. But the problem was the daily diakonia. Okay? Everybody got that? That service, that ministration, that daily diakonia was not being met. So verse 2, then the 12 called the number of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Now I'm going to teach you a new Greek word. It's really close to the first one. It's diakoneo. Everybody say that. Okay, diakoneo. It is the verb that is associated with that noun. Okay? So, the apostles, they say, we can't leave the we can't leave the word of God to serve tables, or that word serve is diakoneo. Okay? We can't be the ones being the servants or the ministers of tables or the needs that were being neglected. So verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry. This word ministry is diakonia. The noun, okay, of the word. So here's what the apostles say. We can't do the ministry or service, diakoneo, of taking care of the tables. We need to make sure that our ministry is in the word. So they had to come up, they come up with this answer. Verse 6, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. So, in order for the disciples, who were the pastors of the church at Jerusalem at the time, in order for them to do their job, they needed diakonia or servants. To do the diakoneo, the ministry, servants, to serve. That's what they needed. And they needed servants who could lead the service, lead the ministry. And when they did this, the word of God increased, the number of disciples multiplied. It was a pretty good answer. I want to talk about these servant leaders, or we call them today deacons. Guess where we get the English word from? Diakonia. Sounds a lot alike, right? Deacon. And actually, the word diakonia will only be translated deacon 5 times in the entire scripture. 37 times it'll be translated as servant or minister. The servant leaders, first of all, they had qualities. The qualities that are given to us here in Acts chapter 6 is that they needed to have an honest report. That'll be the first blank in your bulletins there. They needed to have an honest report. Secondly, they needed to be full of the Holy Ghost. Now, an honest report, what is that? When somebody looks at you, you don't have something in your life that hinders them from moving forward with the Lord. And if you have something in your life that would hinder anyone from moving forward with the Lord, you don't have an honest report. You're like, well, that's really general. And that's the way it's supposed to be. They had honest report. They were full of the Holy Ghost. People are full of a lot of stuff, right? But we're supposed to be full of the Holy Ghost. In fact, we're told, walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because if you walk in the Spirit, you will be led by the Spirit. How do you know if someone's full of the Spirit? What do? Where do they walk? How do they serve? If someone serves under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you know they're full of the Holy Spirit. If someone serves in the flesh, you know what's going on. Because you say, how can the church look at these people and make that judgment? I thought we weren't supposed to judge. Well, here's how they did it. They just looked and they saw. It's evident. They found seven guys that were full of the Holy Ghost. And then also they were full of wisdom. In Proverbs it says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Because wisdom is, it's necessary. See, you can have somebody that's full of the Holy Ghost but doesn't have a brain in their head. They're not going to be much use. And wisdom isn't really having a brain in your head. Wisdom is knowing how to use the brain that is there. All right? There's a difference between wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom knows how to apply knowledge. You can know a lot of stuff, but if you don't know how to apply that practically to your life or to other people, then there's no way that that knowledge does you any good. That's why knowledge puffs up. You ever read that in Scripture? What's the difference between knowledge and wisdom? Wisdom never puffs up because wisdom knows how to use that knowledge. And so these deacons, these servants that they found, were full of wisdom. Now, as churches develop, God protects the sanctity of the offices of deacon by giving some qualifications beyond the qualities that were described. So real quickly, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to look at some of these qualifications. In Acts, we're just given qualities. What are the qualities? They are of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom. Those are qualities. In 1 Timothy 3, verses 8 through 13, we are given qualifications. So in verse 8, it says, likewise, must the deacons be grave. That word grave there, it means dignified. It means honorable. You don't want somebody who's the town clown. You don't want someone who is the courtroom jester to be a deacon. Can they be funny, have a sense of humor? Yes, but they need to have dignity to them, some honor to them. Not double-tongued, to say one thing, do another. The heart and the tongue do not align. Or the expression of that they say their heart lives, but the way that they actually live don't align. Okay? Not double-tongued. Not given to much wine. Okay? If someone's known to tarry at the wine, if someone's known to linger at the bar, if someone's known to be a drinker, and that's the reputation that they've earned, they're given to much wine. Not greedy of filthy lucre. Since deacons will have the charge of the finances and care for the church's goods. Remember, at this time, the church, they're selling what they have, giving it to the deacons, or giving it to the apostles. The apostles don't want to be the ones distributing it anymore. So that's why they form this deacons. So the deacons are the ones to distribute it. Well, if they're greedy, then they're going to look to keep for themselves. And so they're not supposed to be greedy. Verse 9, holding the mystery of faith, of the faith, in a pure conscience. See, they need to have sincerity in their faith. Deacons can't just be talkers, they have to be doers. Verse 10, let these also first be proved. then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. So you don't just see somebody go, wow, they're busy for the Lord, let's get them in. No, you prove them. How do you prove? Test. Okay, the same word the Lord will say to us about himself. He'll say, prove me. What does he mean there? Test me. And that's about finances. Give to him. And you watch. See what he does financially. Not that he's going to pour a bunch of finances upon you, but you watch how he takes care of everything that you need. Prove him. Test him. Well, here it's told to test the deacons. Not try to trip them up. You test through observation. Okay? The NFL Combine. Just took place, where all these guys put on spandex and try to run, jump, and, you know, they call it the Underwear Olympics. So these guys will get drafted into the NFL and make millions of dollars. All right, you know what they do? They test them. They prove them. They see how fast they can run. They see how far they can jump. And you know what's kind of funny about it? I think the whole thing is ridiculous. Because sometimes they'll draft a guy because he's just big and fast and strong and he can't play a lick of football. You know what the better proving is? Watch the game film. The guy can really play. He's not very fast. He's short. He's can't bench press very much. But boy, the guy can play. That's the best proving. That's the best testing. Well, in our lives, we don't throw obstacles out in front of them to prove them. No, we just observe. And the life will prove itself. And then it says in verse 11, even so must their wives be grave, not in the grave. Okay, don't. They must be, again, dignified and honorable, not slanderers. Okay, not someone that goes around and talks bad about people. Not someone who will harm or assassinate the character of another. Okay, not a slanderer. They must be sober. Okay, sober, self-controlled. Mind controlled. And faithful in all things. Let the deacons, verse 12, be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well, purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Jesus Christ. In that day, polygamy was a big issue, and I believe that's what it's talking about there, with the deacons being the husband of one wife, but also it says they need to rule their children and their own houses well. You know, and there are those who haven't taken care of things at home. Spiritual, stalwarts of the faith, but they don't take care of things at home. How in the world can you truly serve the church when you don't serve your family? And so the idea here is they need to have their house in order. If their house is not in order, how can they truly serve the church and be a minister to it? So what are the duties that were given to the deacons? For those of you who have seen Wreck-It Ralph, not that kind of duty. The kids got that good. First of all, they need to care for daily service of the widows. Okay? And the word there was the diakonia, the ministry to the widows. First and foremost, the first thing. Secondly, serve tables. Now, they're not waiters, okay? The idea is they're supposed to go out and meet the needs of those around. Because remember, the apostles were at first distributing the goods that were donated, the monies that were donated, and the apostles are like, we can't do this. We need to give ourselves to the ministry of the word. So they handed that off to the deacons, and the deacons did that. And so the way that people were taken care of was through the deacons serving the church by ministering to all the needs that became present. And then they oversaw the business. Oversee the business. The word for business there is kraia. It's the today we would look at that as the legalities that the church has to take care of. The both financially, in stewardship, and then with building and property. And so those were the things that they were called out to do. It helped the apostles give themselves to prayer and the service or ministry of the word. So now the process for bringing a deacon into the office is as follows. They would seek men with the right qualities. So somebody didn't have those qualities. What were the qualities? The qualities were honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom. So if somebody had those qualities, you bring them out to observe them and then improve them through observation and examination. And then thirdly, pray. Now, every single time you read about them calling someone into a ministry, they pray. If we ever make a decision in our own wisdom, and we don't pray and ask for the wisdom of the Father, we have made a wrong decision, even if it's the right decision, because we must bathe it in prayer. A decision that a church makes that's not bathed in prayer will be a decision that leaves itself hanging in the wind because it's not backed by the power of the Holy Ghost. And that's why we must pray. And then the last thing, lay hands on them. Why? It's kind of silly. You stay up there and you got all these sweaty people and their sweaty palms on you. It's like the Holy Spirit, like, through the hands. No. Why lay hands? Well, in the Old Testament, what they would do is they'd anoint with oil. They'd actually literally break the clay container and let the oil run over top of someone when they anointed them. And what was the anointing? It was showing that they were consecrated, set apart for a specific task. Now, we don't break the oil on top. It's never told to us to do that in this. But what they did do is they would lay their hands on them and pray over them. Laying the hands on was the sign that the oil showed in the Old Testament. The laying hands is the same type of idea. And you do that to show that they are being called out, set aside for the work of serving. Now the results of this unified answer. The word of God increased. Is that what we want? Is that the goal for 12th Street Baptist Church? The word of God? I love that. You know what it doesn't say here? It doesn't say that the church increased. You notice that? What happened? The word of God increased. That's the goal, folks. Do we want more people? Yeah! Obviously. But what do we want first? We want the word of God to increase. We want it to become large. We want it to be what people see. We don't want people to see us. We're flawed. I'm ugly. Although in Jamaica, they did tell me I look like Joaquin Phoenix. I said, no, you got that wrong. People tell me I look like Elvis. They said, no, you look like Joaquin Phoenix. So Rachel looked up a picture of Joaquin Phoenix online, and it was hideous looking guy. So she said, don't consider that a compliment. But listen, if the world sees us, they see the wrong thing. That's why we need the word of God to increase. And then the number of disciples grew. Not the number of people that made a profession of faith. Disciples. 12th Street, we got a task in front of us. We have to be disciple-making, not just profession-makers. A lot of people can pray prayers, but we need to be making disciples. And then a great number of priests were saved. Same group of people we talked about last week who wanted to kill the disciples for preaching Jesus when they saw a unified answer. And what was the answer to the problem? Service. You know what? When we have problems here at 12th Street, which never happens, right? I mean, we're like, we're the perfect church for imperfect people, right? And so when something comes up, here's what needs to take place. We need to serve each other. God didn't appoint all this hierarchy and oligarchy and, you know, all this. Here's what he said. He said, let's find seven guys that can lead the rest of the church in service. And as they lead in service, the rest of the church will see them serving and say, wow, I better serve too. That's the answer. In Ephesians 4:3, it tells us, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. 1 Corinthians 1:10, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. But we're all from different backgrounds. So were they. But some of us grew up Christian and some of us, not so much. How do we speak the same thing? Here's how. We all speak Jesus Christ. And then we serve each other in his name. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, it says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. If we don't live in peace, nobody will be able to see the Lord through us. If we don't figure out the answers that the Bible teaches us, and we don't live in service to one another. Because if I'm not serving, if I'm not here to help serve my brother, if I'm not here to help serve my sister, then there won't be peace. Let's be honest. How many of us can even get along with our spouse if we're not trying to serve each other? And we're supposed to like them, right? We like put rings on each other's fingers and all that kind of stuff. Our kids! Birthed from our own loins. And sometimes we don't even like them, do we? How in the world are we going to get along? Because we're not even blood. I'll tell you how. We serve each other. In the name of Jesus, we serve each other. The church in Jerusalem was undivided in their answer. They served. When we, the church, serve each other, you don't have to be a deacon to serve, by the way. Anybody can serve. How do you become a deacon? By serving. But you don't have to be a deacon to serve. Here's what we do. We make a powerful statement about our God. Nothing reaches the world around us like uncompromising unity of faith. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you so much that this morning as we looked at your word, that it teaches us how to be undivided in answers. God, I thank you for service. Thank you for ministry, the ability to find other people's needs and go and reach them and meet them. And so, Lord, I thank you for the deacons that you've given to 12th Street. Lord, I pray that you encourage them and empower them with this, because when they use their office well, they purchase to themselves a good degree. And Lord, for all of us in the church, especially, Lord, as we go from here to a job fair where we have an opportunity to look at ministries in the church and find ways that we can serve, I pray that every single one of us, Lord, would be excited about the opportunity to lay down ourselves for other people in service, because, Lord, that's what you did for us. You laid down yourself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, so that we could be saved. Lord, if there's anyone here who's never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray that they would understand the unity of Christ in his sacrifice for sin through the way that we as a church show your love. And so, Lord, as we go into this invitation time and we ask you to give us clean hands and pure hearts, that our hearts would not be lifted up to anyone but to you. I just pray, Lord, that if anyone's never trusted Jesus Christ, that they would have the confidence in you, the boldness to just come to the front, to shake my hand and say, I need to trust Jesus. And Lord, you will save them today. And Lord, if anyone here has not had the attitude where they want to serve, maybe, Lord, they've had other agenda, other plans for their time here with this assembly. I pray, Lord, that this morning they just fall before you. And God, that you would give them the strength to serve, because it does take strength. It does take some mettle to lay down ourselves and our time for others. So, Lord, use this invitation time for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. The invitation's open. If God has spoken to your heart about something, the altar's open. If you would like to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm going to be standing right up there. Come and tell me that you want to trust Jesus. And this morning, He will save you, and we will rejoice with you. Now unto him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and power forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you. Make sure you sign up for a ministry and stay around for the dinner.